from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first day headlines. Indonesia and Finland organized high-level advisory board on mediation. Bank Indonesia focuses to protect rupiah exchange rate. Indonesian migrant workers appreciate the increasing service of Indonesian embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Now the news in detail. The governments of Indonesia and Finland organized the second meeting of the Secretary General's high-level advisory board on mediation in Helsinki on Monday. The United Nations Information Center UNIC Jakarta said in a statement. Initiated by the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, the high-level advisory board on mediation is aimed to prevent conflicts and strengthen mediation effort. Finland's Minister for Foreign Affairs, Timo Soini, who will open the meeting, noted in a statement that the role of mediation has become increasingly important among the tools available in foreign policy internationally, and it is one of the key priority areas of the Finnish foreign policy. Hosting this meeting is part of the Finland's determined contribution to mediation in accordance with the government's report on Finnish foreign and security policy. Composed of 18 global leaders, the High-Level Advisory Board on Mediation is an initiative to support the effort on conflict prevention by providing advice to the UN Secretary General. Bank Indonesia committed to focus in protecting economic stability in the country. One of effort is to protect stability of rupiah exchange rate against US dollar. BI's Governor Peri Warjio explained in Sukoharjo, Central Java on Monday, June 18, that one step to be taken is to pay attention on every new progress abroad. At the Board of Governors meeting on May 27 to 28, it was decided that BI is ready to conduct a number of steps for economic and exchange rate stability. BI also discussed the possibility of interest rate rebound. BI Governor said, if the foreign policy requires an increase of interest rates hike, Indonesia will also raise its interest rate. Therefore, the banking interest rate hike is not followed by increasing in domestic liquidity. BI or Bank Indonesia also conducted macroprudential policy easing in the form of down payment of loan to value ratio to encourage housing sector. BI also hope with a step, economic stability can be protected and economic growth can be sustainably encouraged. Hard work, which is conducted by staff and the head of Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, in increasing services and protection to Indonesian citizens, get appreciation from several Indonesian migrant workers. One of them is Emma, who has worked for 10 years in Malaysia. Emma and other workers in a dialogue with RRI in Kuala Lumpur on Sunday June 17 admitted that they feel the increasing of services conducted by the Indonesian embassy in Kuala Lumpur. Currently, the embassy has given many facilities to Indonesian citizens in Kuala Lumpur to administer their immigration documents or other documents. Pak Jokowi is a good man. Currently, the Indonesian embassy is the best. In 2012, there were many obstacles when I took care of my passport, but now it is better. This year, I take care of a student's visa. The service is okay. Emma added, the Indonesian embassy is very responsive on problems which hit Indonesian citizens in Malaysia, especially those who come with legal document. Currently, the Indonesian embassy operated for 24 hours every weekdays to serve Indonesian citizens. Malaysian citizens or foreign citizens who stay in Malaysia and want to administer all immigration documents to visit Indonesia. Currently, children of Indonesian migrant workers who were born in Malaysia and less than 7 years old cannot easily obtain entry permits into Malaysian territory. This was stated by one of Indonesian female migrant workers from Padang, West Sumatra, Yola, who this year chooses to not return home and just spend holiday in Malaysia. Yola told RRI recently that she and her husband hold Indonesian passport and have worked for 7 years in Malaysia. They have 3 children, 7, 5, and 3 years old. There are 2 children who are 5 and 3 years old. According to Yola, will not be allowed to Malaysia if they come home this year. According to the rule, which is valid in Malaysia, the children of under 7 years old are not considered as Malaysian citizens. Besides recognized as Malaysian citizens, the 7-year-old child is also given student's visa by the Malaysian government. We can obtain a student visa for our children if they are already a student or at elementary school. The student visa can be taken from Malaysian embassy. Then they are allowed to come back to Malaysia. So we have to wait until our children are 7 years old. Yola further said that she went home to Indonesia in 2012. According to her, all foreign workers in Malaysia are prohibited to marry with a person other than Malaysian citizen and having children of their marriage. It is considered violating work license given by the government of Malaysia. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A number of small and medium enterprises of national batik participated in international exhibition with the theme Indonesia Batik for the World at UNESCO headquarters, Paris, France. Ministry of Industry facilitated their participation. The exhibition was held starting from June 6 to 12, 2018, to commemorate 9 years of Indonesian batik cloth entering on the list of cultural heritage representatives as masterpieces of the oral and intangible heritage of humanity by UNESCO since October 2, 2009. Director General of Small and Medium Enterprises Industry Ministry, Gati Wibawaningsih, said in a press statement on Monday, the purpose of the implementation of Indonesia Batik for the World event is to show to the world on cultural wealth of national batik, competency of its craftsmen, and the existence of Indonesian batik industry. The Ministry of Industry noted that the export value of batik and batik products in 2017 reached $58.46 million, with its main export market to Japan, the United States, and Europe. Gati Wibawaningsih moreover said this was indicated that the national batik industry has a comparative competitiveness in the international market. Indonesian Ambassador to Federation of Russia, concurrently Republic of Belarus, M. Wahid Supriyadi, attended inauguration of Nurullah Mosque in Solnechnogorsk, one of the satellite cities in Moscow, Russia, around 75 kilometers from Moscow on Sunday, June 17. The presence of Ambassador Wahid Supriyadi was to fulfill invitation of Rafil Gaynuddin, chairman of Russia Mufti's Council, who is also head of Muslim Assembly of Russian Federation. It was said by the First Secretary of Information, Social and Cultural Functions, the Indonesian Embassy in Moscow and Jayadiana, to Antara on Monday. In the event, Ambassador Wahid Supriyadi was conveyed to give speech to show the development of Islam in Russia and good relation with Indonesia. The ambassador also conveyed the plan of Business Forum of Indonesian Russian Muslim Entrepreneurs in May 2019 in Kazan Summit, Republic of Tatarstan. The ambassador also invited Muslim community to attend the third Indonesian festival at Krasnaya Preznya Park, Moscow. The last item, Minister for Village Development of Underdeveloped Regions and Transmigration Eko Putro Sanjoyo mentioned that along 2018, private investment to village have more than 50 trillion rupiah through Future Product of Rural Areas program. The investment is estimated to be able to promote village by creating village featured product. Minister Eko Putro Sanjoyo said in Jakarta on Monday, through the program, the villages can focus to plant certain types, then followed by post-harvest program. In addition, according to the minister, the program is also able to create and to absorb labor at the village. Moreover, the ministry is also assisted by other ministries such as Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing, Ministry of Health, and many others, so that the program can be more optimally implemented. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia and Finland organize high-level advisory board on mediation. Bank Indonesia focuses to protect rupiah exchange rate. Indonesian migrant workers appreciate the increasing service of Indonesian embassy in Kuala Lumpur. That was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to our commentary entitled European Union Revoke the Ban of Indonesian Aircraft Flight. On June 14, good news for Indonesian nation came from the European Union, and the European Union officially lifted the ban on all Indonesian airlines that have been imposed since 2007. After 11 years of struggling to make improvements, now Indonesia's airlines are trusted by the world as safe and reliable ones. Quoting Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi's statement, the lifting of the ban is the result of hard work and collaboration for 11 years. In fact, before being revoked, several airlines have been allowed to operate first by the European Commission on executive body with the European Union working area. In 2009, Garuda Indonesia, Mandala Air, Airfast, and Premier Air have been allowed to operate. A year later, Indonesia Air Asia and Batavia Air also started their operations. Then, in 2011, the European Commission also abolished the ban on several cargo companies such as PT Cardiq, PT Air Malio, Asia Link, and Republic Express. The series of revocations was closed with the permission of 55 Indonesian airlines to operate. After the flight ban is lifted, what steps should be taken? Of course, Indonesia continues to maintain the world's confidence in its aviation system. The world's trust is an appreciation to the nation of Indonesia. Director General of Air Transportation at the Ministry of Transportation, Agus Santoso, said that Indonesia had fought for the release of flying since 2007. He also said
that Indonesia is an independent country that has high assets in the aviation sector, starting from the aircraft industry up to 62 air operator certificates that serve flights from Indonesia to overseas. The positive impact of lifting the flight ban for Indonesian airlines is the tourism sector. This can be imagined how many increases in the number of European tourists who will come to Indonesia if more Indonesian aircraft can fly in the air of Europe. Indonesian government targets an increase in the number of European tourist arrivals, around 200,000 visits every year. The chain effect from tourism sector is to bring about economic growth. All of this can be achieved if Indonesia's aviation advance is balanced with other domestically related improvements. That's commentary.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with June the 19th, 1944. The battle in the Philippine Sea between the United States Navy and the Japanese Navy begins. The Battle of the Philippine Sea took place on June the 19th and 20th, 1944, near the Mariana Islands. This battle is a major defeat of the Japanese Navy, which lost 3 aircraft carriers and about 600 aircraft during the 2 days. This happens because the Japanese aircraft was old and poorly trained compared to the more modern and refined American Navy. After this battle, the Japanese Navy was almost completely destroyed. This Allied victory opens the door to an attack on Iwo Jima. Turning to June 19, 1961, Kuwait declares its independence from the United Kingdom. In the 1800s, Kuwait became part of the Turkish Ottoman Empire. To break away from Ottoman rule, the great Sheikh Mubarak, ruling in Kuwait then, signed a treaty with the British state in 1899 that defined the state of Kuwait as an independent state under British protection. Under the agreement, Britain had control over Kuwait's foreign policy, and in return, Kuwait got annual protection and subsidies from the UK. On June 19, 1961, Kuwait became independent with the end of British protectorate and Sheikh Abdullah Al-Salim Al-Sabah to Amir, but the National Day of Kuwait, celebrated on February the 25th, is the commemoration of the coronation of Sheikh Abdullah. I'll end Today in History with June 19, 2008, John Aryo Katili passed away. Former Deputy Speaker of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, Professor John Aryo Katili, passed away on June 19, 2008 in Jakarta. John Aryo Katili had served as a member of the House of Representatives from 1992 to 1997 and previously served as Director General of Geology and Mineral Resources in Department of Mining and Energy from 1984 to 1989. In addition to his career in the legislature and government, John Katili also served as Vice Rector of the Institute of Technology in Bandung and the Dean of Department of Mineral Technology, Bandung Institute of Technology. The professor has written about 11 books and 250 papers. His expertise in geology is highly respected in the international world. John Katili has been the chair of the Southeast Asia of Geological Societies and a member of the National Geographic Society. For his
various devotions, John Katili was awarded the Star of Mahaputra, the Honors Medal of the Commander, the L'Ordre National du Mérite of the French government. A number of awards were also obtained from the governments of the Kingdom of the Netherlands, Sweden, and Russia. Well, that was Today in History of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Welcome to My Indonesia. Today, we'll bring you the title, Islam and Pancasila are not contradictory. Chairman of the Democratic Party, who is also the sixth president of the Republic of Indonesia, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, SBY, said that the most important thing in the life of the nation is social justice in accordance with the fifth principle of Pancasila. Therefore, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono called for Indonesian people not to contradict Pancasila against religion. The call was made in Jakarta recently. He also said that Pancasila should be implemented, especially the fifth principle, namely social justice for all Indonesian people. Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono also requested that prosperity must be enjoyed by not only certain groups of people, but also all Indonesian people, and they all should help each other. One of the dimensions of justice in life is social justice. Meanwhile, Deputy Secretary of Nahdlatul Ulama for Jember Branch Office, Muhammad Ihsan, said in Jember East Java, as quoted from NU Online, that there are still parties who try to contradict Pancasila and Islam. He explained that there is still a good insight about Islam and Pancasila. Some people try to discredit Pancasila and try to replace Pancasila with religious ideology. He perceived that keeping Pancasila means keeping the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia, NKRI. Ihsan added that the important point of the NU decision is that Pancasila is not religion and it cannot replace religion. Pancasila is only a principle or state ideology, while Islam is an akidah. Although Pancasila is not a religion, its contents are the crystallization of religious values. In addition, member of the People's Consultative Assembly MPR Sabam Sirait asked every element of the nation to fight together to maintain Pancasila and the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. As quoted by Tribune.com, during the socialization of the four pillars of sport arena Bintaro Permai, Pesanggrahan Sub-District in South Jakarta last week, Sabam said that to keep Pancasila and NKRI is very important for the Indonesian nation to remain intact. According to Sabam, loving the nation of Indonesia must be maintained together. He added that keeping the unity among Indonesian people is very important for the sustainability of this country because Pancasila is the only glue of all islands, tribes, and religions. That was My Indonesia. Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The governments of Indonesia and Finland organized the second meeting of the Secretary General's High-Level Advisory Board on Mediation in Helsinki on Monday, the United Nations Information Center, UNIC, Jakarta, said in a statement. Initiated by the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, the High-Level Advisory Board of Mediation is aimed to prevent conflicts and strengthen mediation effort. Bank Indonesia, BI, committed to focus in protecting economic stability in the country. One of effort is to protect stability of rupiah exchange rate against US dollar. Hard work which is conducted by staffs and the head of Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, in increasing services and protection to Indonesian citizens get appreciation from several Indonesian migrant workers. Currently, children of Indonesian migrant workers who were born in Malaysia and less than 7 years old cannot easily obtain entry permit into Malaysian territory. This was stated by one of Indonesian female migrant workers from Padang, West Sumatra, Yola, who this year chooses to not return home and just spend holiday in Malaysia. A number of small and medium enterprises of National Batik participated in international exhibition with the theme Indonesia Batik for the World at UNESCO headquarters in Paris, France. Indonesian Ambassador to Federation of Russia, concurrently Republic of Belarus, M. Wahid Supriyadi, attended inauguration of Nurullah Mosque in Solnechnogorsk, one of satellite city in Moscow, Russia, around 75 kilometers from Moscow on Sunday. Minister for Village Development of Underdeveloped Regions and Transmigration, Eko Putro Sanjoyo, mentioned that along 2018, private investment to village have more than 50 trillion rupiah through featured product of rural areas program. That was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Gurun Pasir Telaga Biru in Bintan, or Desert and Blue Lake in Bintan. Stay tuned. Bintan is one of the islands in Riau Islands province. The island has a fascinating maritime tourist attraction. The beaches are beautiful, with white sand overlooking the South China Sea, as well as the beautiful underwater views. Bintan not only has beautiful beaches and underwater views, the island also has stretch of white sand with blue water lake, namely Gurun Pasir Telaga Biru, which currently become one of favorite tourist destination objects when traveling to Bintan. Gurun Pasir Telaga Biru is located in Busung Village, Tanjung Uban Sub-District, Bintan Regency, Riau Islands Province. It is about 45 minutes by road from Raja Haji Visabilillah or RHF Airport Tanjung Pinang and from Tanjung Pinang Port. It takes only 15 minutes from Tanjung Uban Port. Gurun Pasir Telaga Biru object is open every day. You do not need to pay admission. You will only be charged parking fee for vehicle of 2,000 rupiah for motorcycles and 5,000 rupiah for cars. Traveling to this Gurun Pasir Telaga Biru in Bintan, you can enjoy the beauty of the blue lake surrounded by the desert. The area is very suitable to make picture or photograph. Moreover, it has been provided a variety of properties to add to the uniqueness of the photos, such as swings, camel sculpture, bamboo ornaments, and archery arena. the rent is relatively cheap, which is around 5,000 rupiah per person. In addition, there is also a dock boat and a special canoe boat in the lake with rental rates of 15,000 rupiah to 20,000 rupiah. If you are tired of taking pictures and go around the lake, you can take a rest at the stalls in the area. For those who are interested in visiting the tourist area, it is advisable to bring sunglasses, hats or hat and foot protectors because the sun is very stinging during the day. Gurun Pasir Telaga Biru was formerly a bauxite sand mining area that hardened like a coral. Mining has long been suspended since the era of President Suharto. Then, tens of years, the area is abandoned. The basins of excavation filled with rainwater that gradually change into blue lake water. The local community then managed an area of 6,000 hectares to become a tourist attraction. Once open to the public, the tourist area of Gurun Pasir Telaga Biru is then crowded with tourists. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Desert and Blue Lake in Bintan. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and guiding you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Sendok di mana, or in English, Where are the spoons? Next is an example on sendok di mana, or in English, where are the spoons? Joko's family is celebrating Idul Fitri. Tony helps Joko and Dinda set up a table to eat together. But Tony does not know where the cutlery is stored. So here is the conversation.
Dinda, piring di mana?
Di lemari yang di bawah wastafel.
Okay. Kalau sendok dan garpu?
Sendok dan garpu ada di laci yang dekat kulkas.
Garpunya tidak ada.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the expression and vocabulary related to the theme of the day, which is sendok di mana or where are the spoons. I will say the sentences 2 times and you may repeat after me. Di mana piring? Di mana piring? Which means where are the plates? Di lemari yang di bawah wastafel. Di lemari yang di bawah wastafel. Which means in the wardrobe under the sink. Wardrobe salah. In the cupboard under the sink. Kalau sendok dan garpu? Kalau sendok dan garpu? How about the spoons and forks? Sendok dan garpu ada di laci
yang dekat kulkas. Sendok dan garpu ada di laci yang dekat kulkas. Spoons and forks are in the drawer near the refrigerator. Garpunya tidak ada. There are no forks. There are many vocabulary related to cutlery like sendok, which means spoon, piring, which means plate, garpu, which means fork, sendok sayur, which means this spoon, and mangkuk, which means bowl. You have learned to ask where an object or someone is located using the word di mana, which means where. Di mana sendok dan garpu? Di mana sendok dan garpu? Which means, where are the spoons and forks? To answer the question in full, say, sendok dan garpu ada di laci. Sendok dan garpu ada di laci, which means spoons and forks are in the drawer. If there are many drawers, you can add yang for description. For example, sendok dan garpu ada di laci yang dekat kulkas. Sendok dan garpu ada di laci yang dekat kulkas. Which means spoons and forks are in a drawer near the refrigerator. Centong nasi ada di lemari yang kecil. Centong nasi ada di lemari yang kecil, which means the rice spoons is in a small cupboard. If you do not find what you are looking for, use the phrase tidak ada, which means none of, doesn't exist. For example, sendoknya tidak ada, which means there are no spoons. When in a traditional Sundanese restaurant, sometimes a kobokan or finger bowl is provided. It's because Sundanese usually eat with fingers, not spoons or forks, except for side dishes. Before ending, let's learn Bahasa Indonesia or let's speak Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the conversation example once more.
Dinda, piring di mana?
Di lemari yang di bawah wastafel.
Okay. Kalau sendok dan garpu?
Sendok dan garpu ada di laci yang dekat kulkas.
Oh. Garpunya tidak ada.
After listening to the above conversation about sendok, di mana, or where are the spoons, I will give you some exercise which of course is related to the words you've learned. The exercise this time is to describe your home by mentioning the address, the color of the house, the number of floors if more than one floor, and something around the house such as trees, fences, or anything. Examples. Alamat rumah saya adalah Jalan Jambu nomor 4. Warna rumah saya putih dengan pagar berwarna hitam. Rumah saya mempunyai 2 lantai. Di depan rumah saya ada pohon mangga. That was today's edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to learn Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language. For practice, send your voice recording in Indonesian to email address @voi@voinews.id. There is an attractive gift package for the lucky winner. The winners will be announced in November 2018. Let's meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment presents Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. Today we will present some Malay songs, so stay tuned.
Thank you.
Listener, you've just listened the song entitled Pilu by Asmidar Darwish. This song composed by Hussein Aididit with musical arrangement created by Bus Lidl. As its title suggests, this song tells about the sadness due to the lover is unfaithful. The song is slow beat with melancholic music in accordance with the lyrics. Pilu included in a special album of sad Malay songs. Asmidar Darwish, known as the Gambus and Malay singer, the songs owned by the singer who comes from West Sumatra, was popular in the 1970s. Before we continue to know more about other Malay songs of Asmidar Darwish, let's listen to a song Naik Sampan. Enjoy the song! The song Naik Sampan, composed by Hussein Aididit. The lyrics of the song has the rhythm like pantun. The song tells about the happiness in rowing a canoe. The song has cheerful music with quick tempo. To end today's music corner, here is another Malay song entitled Nada Harapan. Like the previous songs, Nada Harapan, also composed by Hussein Aidit. This song tells about someone who is not desperate to achieve the goals in life. As the lyrics, the music is cheerful and vigorously. Well, listener, to conclude the segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the next song, Nada Harapan by Asmidar Darwis. Happy listening and sampai jumpa!
Padaku semua tak berguna pujian, sanjung dan puji bukan yang aku cari, bukan yang ku cari. Cita-citaku ingin mencapai tujuan, tidak hanya mimpi yang tiada berarti, yang tiada berarti. Bahagia berarti kini dengarlah irama suara nyanyiku, penuh nada harapan, tak putus asa, tak putus asa. Dari itu semua puji ku tujukan kepada Ilahi yang Maha Kuasa, yang Maha Kuasa. Bahagia berarti kini dengarlah irama suara nyanyiku, penuh nada harapan, tak putus asa, tak putus asa. Dari itu semua puji ku tujukan kepada Ilahi yang Maha Kuasa, yang Maha Kuasa.
Kau tak. aku padamu dan kamu padaku, bukanlah rindu yang semudah because I love you baby. Baby I'm here for you and you are for me. So come on, come on baby, this one is for you. Terikat janji berdua untuk segera bersua. Kau buat jantungku berdebar, nantikan rindu yang kan terbayar. Please believe me, I'll be by your side. Don't worry, don't worry my darling.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.